Hey Redhawks, my name is Anakin Matharasi, and welcome back to Heads or Tails, where you can come and discuss your views in hopes of reaching mutual understanding and progress of thought on society's most important issues. This week, I wanted to revisit one of the first podcasts we did with Corinne Daniels and Jordan Miller to talk about modern feminism, its roots versus its tribalization, and its progression over the years to the disagreements about what it's become today. Well, in the spirit of International Women's Day, I thought it'd be very fitting to discuss the topic again and any updates in the 6 months since that episode. I would for sure check out episode 3 for some context and more information about the topic. And quite honestly, it was just one of my favorite conversations to be a part of. One I learned a lot from, and one that exposed me to a whole nother perspective that I'd never thought about before. And speaking of feminism and women's rights, for one, after a series of historic firsts and long overdue breakthroughs, 2018 was called the Year of the Woman. A record 36 women won seats in the United States House of Representatives in midterm elections in November. Ireland voted to repeal one of the world's most restrictive abortion bans. Ethiopia appointed its first female president. Countries all over Africa are moving towards allowing women to become chief appointees. And women in Saudi Arabia were not only allowed to attend a public soccer match for the first time, they were also permitted to drive legally. But it was also the year when there were fewer female Republicans in the United States Senate than men named John in the same chamber, according to the New York Times. International Women's Day, on March 8th, was made a public holiday in Berlin, the German capital, in January. It has always been a way to celebrate women's achievements and to call attention to all the work still left to be done on a global scale. The theme for this year, 2019, is Balance for Better, seeking gender balance in the boardroom and elsewhere. However, more than 30 female leaders, past and present, recently warned in an open letter that progress was eroding, with Susana Malcora, the former Argentine foreign minister, telling The Guardian that some countries, led by quote-unquote, macho-type strongmen, leaders are a factor. To some, it holds as a reminder that global gender parity still remains out of reach. But the strides we've made towards a more equal society are without a doubt remarkable. And as I was reflecting on our original podcast and listening through, one of the coolest things I remember learning about, and one of the coolest things that I remember we discussed, is tribal doctrines. Once a philosophy goes tribal, according to this idea, its beliefs no longer exist to serve the original moral principle, but rather, they exist to serve the promotion of the group. And I've been able to conceptualize the same idea through a plethora of other groups, too, that we seem to look at as quote-unquote groups. Look at the MAGA supporters, or even our political parties themselves, and some would venture to say feminism as well. In the past few decades, sexual violence has halved and domestic violence has dropped by an astounding two-thirds. Women recently surpassed men in the workforce in the United States and earn almost 60% of all bachelor's degrees. And despite the constant drumming of 77 cents women earn on the dollar compared to men, when you factor in the fact that men work longer hours, more dangerous jobs, and retire later, the wage gap today is actually only something like 93 to 95 cents for every dollar a man earns. And research from the PragerU supports that it may not even exist anymore. A very encouraging sign for feminists, women, and civil rights activists alike. But the question for me is, on a day like today, International Women's Day, how is female discrimination currently institutionalized or systemic? And how can we combat that? Because to me, institutionalized or systemic discrimination is the hardest to change because it's cultural. The establishment of the Working Group by the Human Rights Council at its 15th session in September 2010 of the UN was a milestone on the long road towards women's equality with men. Over the years, many constitutional and legal reforms to integrate women's human rights fully into domestic law have occurred, but there remains insufficient progress. Discrimination against women persists in both public and private spheres, in times of conflict and in peace. It transcends national, cultural, and religious boundaries, and it's often fueled by patriarchal stereotyping and power imbalances, which are mirrored in laws, policies, and practice. The working group's focus is to identify, promote, and exchange views in consultation with states and other actors on good practices related to the elimination of laws that discriminate against women. The group is also tasked with developing a dialogue with states and other actors on laws that have a discriminatory impact where women are concerned. In the research that I've delved into thus far, the central difficulty I've discovered in the project of enhancing the international protection of women's human rights is the continued, widespread, and systemic discrimination women face at the hands of, surprisingly, private non-state actors who are difficult to regulate, change, and completely turn over. And while states may be found responsible for failing to protect individuals and failing to provide repercussions for such harms, the remedies available are extremely limited in their ability to address the systemic inequality that infringes on women's enjoyments of their internationally protected human rights. Whereas many human rights violations may be systemic in the sense that they are widespread within a particular state, or can even be seen to result from the structure of special institutions, they do not frequently have to contend with claims that they result from practices and beliefs embedded within a culture of our, possibly even our entire globe. Violations of women's human rights are often systemic not only for the foregoing reasons, but are also systemic in the sense that they're reinforced by cultural beliefs and practices that legitimize the inequality, making the conceptualization of remedies for violations of these human rights much more difficult. Systemic discrimination that results in the widespread violation of women's human rights requires much more creative remedial thinking, because the nature of the violation is more complex. This, without a doubt, requires an engagement with local structures, but it must also involve taking on cultural norms that serve to reinforce this inequality, which is difficult to do. However, the cultural norms are very difficult to change. The most important change, in my opinion, is rooted in education, and frankly, feminism is no different in terms of an issue that requires change. For this to happen, things like International Women's Day is exactly the right thing, moving in the right direction, but we need more active participation from all members of society for real reform. But I want to hear what you guys think. So, heads or tails, how can we move towards an even more equal society between genders in modern times? And how is modern feminism evolving every day for us? For the better or for the worse? And as always, the most important part of this podcast is you guys. So if you feel passionate about a topic and would be willing to discuss it like today's episode, please do reach out to me at anikitmathurasi@gmail.com. Thank you all for wanting to understand more about the world today than you did yesterday. Talk to you next week.